Josh Vernier, a Royals insider, joins us here on the show. We appreciate it as always, Vern. We were saying, of course, everybody's focused in on the decision from Q last night with Burger. How did you see that play out? He, you know, he had pitched more than he had in his big league career. Obviously, he was pitching very well, though.
Yeah, certainly. I thought he did his job last night. You know, going the third time through the lineup, he walks Alex Bregman after an 8-pitch battle. Certainly wasn't surprised to see an already warm Angel Zerpa come in out of the bullpen to face the lefty. Willier Abreu with an OPS around 830 against right-handers, an OPS around 640 against lefties. So the numbers certainly pointed to that. Ryan Burger doesn't have a track record to rely on to say, well, he's done this plenty of times before. Sure, let's allow him to go through the hottest team in baseball a third time. So do you push your luck? You know, I heard Dusty and Bob talking a lot about feel and trust in your gut. Yeah.
Wrong manager,
possibly,
right?
Well, yeah, and also like wrong year. You know, there just aren't many managers that are going to spit in the face of that. Third time through, a rookie in his 8th big league start, pitching as deep as he ever has. Man, you can send him to the lockers, send him to the clubhouse
feeling
with
good.
25 new teammates and a new organization, feeling good if Angel Zerpa can just do his freaking job, and he couldn't. Mm-hmm. Zerpa didn't do the job. To me, Burger did his, Q did his. Zerpa's the guy that failed the team last night, in my opinion.
I know we continue to look at this team as like, if they have any hope of making the playoffs, they essentially just have to win 2 out of every 3 games the rest of the way, which is why a majority of us do not think they will get there, my Alex and I included. But when you look at them playing, like, what do you make, I guess, of the new look Royals? You have seen all but one of the pitchers. You've seen Yaz. This is going to be what a good chunk of the team looks like next year, in fairness. Like, what do you look at the new-look Royals a week into it, Vern?
Well, I can't read really anything into Bailey Falter or Ryan Burgert. You know, just as we're going to acknowledge that, hey, Bailey Falter's not that bad, I need proof that Ryan Burgert's that good.
Fair.
So, TBD when it comes to the rotation. Waka, Lugo, and Cameron, you feel really good about, and man, every time Lugo or Waka's on the hill, it feels like a must win. You know, offensively, defensively, on the base paths, what they've been since the All-Star break is what we thought they were going to be back in Game 1, a team led by stars and Bobby and Vinny and Salvi. You were hoping that MJ or Michael or Massey would really break out this year. That's happened with Michael Garcia. Defensively, they've been much better since the break. On the base paths, they've been much better since the break. So, you know, to me, they've been the offense that we were expecting. Not a great offense, but a middle-of-the-road offense led by its stars and getting some contributions from the bottom of the lineup. You know, Mike Yastrzemski, Randall Grichuk, Adam Frazier, they're certainly bringing more professional at-bats. They're battling at the dish much more. I don't know if it's a better plan of attack, if it's just the experience that those three bring, but it's not as easy to quickly maneuver through this lineup as it was in the first 3 months of the season. Now, you could still go through them 1, 2, 3, but that pitch count's going to at least... guys like Yastrzemski and Grichuk and Frazier are going to make you... they're going to work that pitch count, so that's been nice to see, but... You know, this team just dug itself such a hole in May and June with bad defense and bad base running and bad offense. And to be honest with you, as you look at the totality of the 114 games we've seen so far, it's 17 since the All-Star break, right? And of those 17, I think they've looked certainly much better. But there's still been a few bad games in there. So we're talking about 14, 15 games in which they looked like the team we thought we would see on opening day. The fact that they're only 2 games below .500 when we're hanging on to a 15-game sample size out of 114, boy, does that say a lot about this rotation. The fact that they're even still in this race with an offense, a defense, a base running unit that is really disappointed. Shoot, just look at this Boston series from a decision-making standpoint by Nick Lofton to the Jonathan India, Randall Grichuk play out there in shallow right field last night. It's just another reflection of this team being certainly good enough to compete on any given night, but just lacking that consistency that is reflective of an above-average team.
When you look at the rest of the wild card teams, which of the ones are you sure the Royals are at least as good as? Like the Red Sox, for instance, that's a team I think that they're worse than, right? So which ones do you think that they're maybe better than? The Guardians, the, you know, like which of these teams still in the mix with them?
Nobody ahead of them. No. Mm-hmm. No, Cleveland, to me, they attack the game. Right. And maybe this now, you know what? It doesn't go back to the Emmanuel Clase thing because now he's not even a part of that team. Now, I would love to say, again, the fight and the willingness to battle that we've seen from the offense since the All-Star break, that to me is the Cleveland offense all season. So I'll give them the edge.
Rangers?
Texas. Yeah, Texas with Nate Eovaldi and Jacob deGrom and Merrill Kelly as their 1-2-3. Along with their offense littered with World Series champions, I'll take Texas. The Yankees are a bad baseball team, but they own the Royals, so I got to genuflect at the altar of the Pinstripers. The Mariners and the Red Sox, yeah.
Definitely bad.
Mariners, what you saw, they had Suarez, they had Josh Naylor, and they already have a terrific rotation. And like you mentioned, the Boston Red Sox. So, yeah, all five teams that are jockeying for wild card spots, I think they're all better than the Royals.
Michael Massey was rehabbing down in AAA. Then maybe there was a setback there. They're waiting for Michael Lorenzen also to come back. What's the latest with some of these other pieces that have been on the IL for a bit?
Yeah, Lorenzen threw last night at the AA level. 66 pitches to get through three innings. Gave up a pair of home runs. Walked three. Gave up four runs on four hits. So maybe he needs one more start, and also maybe the organization will need some clarity on where exactly he's going to go. Does he bump a Bailey Falter out? Does he bump a Ryan Burgert out of the rotation? If they keep losing, Ryan Burgert's not going anywhere because he's, to me, he's going to be the appointment viewing down the stretch if this thing gets carried away. So Michael Lorenzen could find his way into the bullpen, into a situation where he's planning on throwing multiple innings, maybe the same day that we see a Bailey Falter, that we see a Ryan Burgert. So I'm still expecting one more rehab start for Michael Lorenzen. As far as Michael Massey is concerned,
done for the year, you think?
Well, you know, that back, it's, you know, could bother him for 3 days and then it's gone and he's good to go. Reading what he had to say in his conversation with Annie Rogers of MLB.com, still seems to be in great spirits. I mean, you guys know Michael Massey. He's a very optimistic, head down, nose to the ground, grindstone kind of dude. So he's going to keep working at it, but we've all seen it in whatever our favorite sport is. Sometimes your body just betrays you, and that's certainly been the case this season for Michael Massey. Not getting any younger. So, yeah, you do worry about his long-term ability to help this organization. But, shoot, those smoke signals have already been billowing out for a while as they moved him to left field this offseason. They bring in Jonathan India as a contingency plan at second base, yes, but also someone that could bring some extra something to the lineup just in case they can't rely on Michael Massey. And obviously they could not, and unfortunately Jonathan India really hasn't brought that something to the offense, to the defense. Sure, he brings a toughness to the clubhouse, but that's about it so far.
Royal stats would suggest that maybe Kyle Isbell. Should someone else be hitting in Jonathan India's spot?
Yeah, Michael Garcia. Yeah.
Okay. I was like, it feels like they need to flip the order around again, in my opinion, just knowing that Jonathan India, I'm not saying that's the world's worst trade, but they're certainly not getting enough power, OPS, or whatever they're missing. Kyle Isbell's OPS is certainly better than, or close to, as the same as Jonathan India. So, like,
yeah,
why not just shuffle the order?
I think he gets exposed if you start throwing him out there.
I don't want that either. Yeah. I'm not sure that solves it, but maybe what you mentioned, the professional at-bat guys, you know, like, they can move up the order a little bit, and Jonathan India could be hitting in the 6 or 7 hole.
Yeah, certainly. To me, if they haven't done it by now, I don't think they're going to do it. This isn't new, right? 114 games. Shoot, man. I think we were 30, 40 games into the season where we went, shoot, man, if this Michael Garcia would have been present last year, you're not acquiring Jonathan India. You're not starved for a leadoff hitter. He's right there. He's one of the 20 best players in Major League Baseball, according to Fangraphs WAR. So the fact that that guy's hitting isn't guaranteed to come up in the first inning to me is ridiculous. But, you know, you made that trade this offseason. You gave Jonathan India that leadoff role. And to me, he hasn't earned it really at any point this season, but they continue to give it to him. So I would be honestly, I'd be just disappointed if they switched it up now, because this is something you could have done 30, 40 games ago. Now it would have sent a negative message through the clubhouse, but whatever. Are we trying to win or not?
Josh Vernier, Royals Insider, is on deck show tonight, 5 o'clock, as the Royals continue their series against the Red Sox. It'll be Michael Walker right here on 96.5 The Fan. We like giving each other a hard time on this show, on this station. I'm sure you know we have played your audio cut from Friday night a few times, and we've gotten some good laughs out of that. The text line wants me to ask you about it. You, JT, did you not know until JT said something?
Man, I don't know if you guys... feel this as well. Well, first of all, once I heard Jay Binkley was filling in, I knew that
I had not heard it. Other than the depth chart, Vern, being printed off on my desk from Bink, that was the next. That was the next thing he immediately told me.
Printed off.
Yeah.
Of course, it's printed. He prints everything. He's the only person still printing. No, and sometimes when I'm on the air, I'm like a few sentences ahead of what's actually coming out of my mouth, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was already well down the line when I said that Stu was attending his son's funeral and congratulations, when instead it was obviously his son's wedding, so that is a reason for... But shoot, man, last night I made another just boneheaded statement, and right out of the gate... I was so enamored with the way that that team battled back on Monday. When I started the show last night, I thought they won on Monday, so I thought the series was still up for grabs.
Yeah.
But that just shows you where my bar is with this team now. I was so disappointed with June. I, you know, acknowledged that I didn't think it was in the cards for the boys after they dropped that series at home to the New York Mets. So when they come out and almost get waxed in Boston, but, you know, battle there in the eighth inning, man, that was a moral victory, and I didn't think I'd be talking moral victories in August.
No question. Hey, Vern, appreciate it, man. We'll be listening.
Thank you.